Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Woo! Always a little upside down coming back to the overnights and coming back to after hours when I'm fresh off a mini vacation, in this case, an extended Labor Day weekend, but it was worth it. Really checked out, got refreshed, got a lot of wedding plans and wedding things done and family stuff done before football begins. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. It's definitely here. We are so close now to the season opener, and we've got news about the Super Bowl champion Chiefs. There's good news and there's bad news. Good morning to you. It's Wednesday. It's your hump day. It's our hump show after hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to mix it up here this hour of the show. We do have a little bit of QB news. It's actually a fairly eclectic mix from a retired QB who's teasing people about a comeback, sort of, to a QB that's not yet on the field because he isn't healthy, to a quarterback who may still yet have something new in store for us, though he dazzles most every time he touches the ball. Also, we've got a really cool matchup in baseball coming up on Wednesday. Did you hear? For the first time in their careers, and they're both Hall of Famers, and they've been teammates in multiple places, now they are competitors, but in the same division. Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander will start in the same game against each other for the first time in their careers. Verlander's 40. What is Mad Max? 38? A couple years younger? They've never faced each other. How amazing is that? 39, excuse me. Shortchanging Mad Max. He's got a lot of life in there. A lot of life and a lot of baseball. The two of them got to play together, or share a roster, share a rotation for a couple of months in New York. And then they parted and went their separate ways again. But now we're going to see them in the same game pitching against each other for the first time on Wednesday. Wow. That's pretty amazing. We've got the latest on a couple of the wild card surges too, which are fun. And really now, as a precursor to the NFL season, you are running out of time to join Survivor Island. I just did it. If I do it, you know you're running out of time because I'm a procrastinator. I'm a queen procrastinator. I wait until the very last second. So you are almost down to the final. I mean, the pressure's on. You're down to the final options here. I actually made a pick just to have one there so I don't forget. And I don't like my pick. Per the usual, every week when I pick for Survivor Island or Survivor Pool, I can't stand the pick. Jay, did you make your pick yet?
I haven't, but I know where I think I'm leaning. I'm not sure I like it either. That's how you know, right?
I might go back and change it, but at least I registered a pick so that I don't forget. That's the worst. You sign up for Survivor Island, and then you forget to make your pick or you don't save your pick. Here's your clue. when you save your pick, a little box pops up that says your pick has been saved. That's how you know. If you don't see that box, your pick has not been saved. Do it. We've got the link top of our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page. I think we're onto our second island now. I know we are, because one family member of mine said that he's on the second island. He's not on the main island. It's like an archipelago, like Hawaii, the Hawaiian Islands. And we've got the big island, and then we've got
Isla Nublar.
Isla Nublar, yes. So you can find us on Twitter or Facebook. Join us on Survivor Island. I did put some photos up in the last few hours on Facebook as well as on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, because I do love to take photos of clouds. And the view above the clouds is probably the most amazing. For anybody out there who still is considering the idea that the Earth is flat, just go check out my photos. You can actually see the curvature of the horizon, okay? It's not flat. You can see that it's not flat.
Stop mentioning me right now, please.
No one mentioned you by name. Get my name out your mouth. So yeah, a lot we're going to try to jam in here. If we did not get to your question last segment as part of Ask Amy Anything, I've already started answering those that have been posed to us on Twitter and Facebook, except for the wedding questions. There will be a special Ask Amy video version because Jay wants to do it that way. We feel like it's a better way to answer your wedding questions because we're getting the same ones and then new ones over and over and over again. Jay's eyes are rolling back in his head.
It's the only way.
Because they keep coming. And so in order to make it nice and easy for everyone, we're going to put them in one video, okay? Jay thinks it's going to go 2 hours. There's no way.
Maybe three at this point.
No, stop it. There's no way. I'm not giving you that much information. But the invitations have been ordered. Woo! That makes it real, peeps. That makes it real. We've also hired a caterer. Also makes it real. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, why don't we start off your Wednesday? If you're shaking out cobwebs, it's your hump day. Maybe you're coming off of a Labor Day weekend. Maybe your kids go to school today for the first time. I know there's a lot of school systems that are starting today or tomorrow. How about some fireworks? Wake up, it's Wednesday.
Cavaldi working from the first base side of the rubber, delivers, and Altuve rockets one deep to left field. It sends back Grossman at the wall, looking up. See you later! Leadoff home run for Jose Altuve, the 35th of his career. And the Astros are up 1-0. 3-1. And Altuve drives this one out to left center field, hit pretty well. Going back on it is Taveras at the wall. See you later! A home run in the first, and now a home run in the second for Jose Altuve. His second straight multi-homer game. And the Astros' lead is 4-0.
This one's walloped to center field. Back on it, Taveras. And she's gone! Third home run for Altuve. A blast to straightaway center field. It's 9-0 Astros. As Altuve goes deep for the third time in the ballgame.
Well, hello. 5 home runs and 6 plate appearances for Jose Altuve, including 4 consecutive innings spanning a couple of different games.
Immaculate!
But the first time that he's ever hit 3 home runs in a regular season game, and man, part of a hit parade, a barrage of the Astros against the Rangers. 20 hits. 14 runs, and the Astros mopped the floor with the Rangers in Arlington on Tuesday. The final was 14-1. So Jose Altuve gets the 3 home runs, but yeah, the Astros now have the 1-game lead in the AL West, and are the World Series champions finding their groove?
We got some momentum going. Yesterday, Mauricio hitting 2 homer. Today, Maldi and Jordan hitting homers. It's always good, you know, to score a lot of runs. And like I said, just to create some momentum and keep winning.
Meanwhile, the Rangers have dropped 5 of 6, which puts them 2 games back of the Astros, and the Mariners are sandwiched in between.
Swinging a bouncing ball through the right side, base hit. Here comes De La Cruz, the plate. Here comes the throw. Not in time. Reds win it 7-6. Christian Encarnacion Strand singles home Ellie De La Cruz, and the Reds walk off over the Mariners.
Okay, well, that's Tommy Thrall on Reds radio. Yeah, Christian Encarnacion Strand has the walk-off RBI single, but that's after the Reds plate three runs in the eighth to come back against the Mariners. So this young Reds team, in a story in and of itself, and the fact that they remind me so much of the Cleveland Guardians last year when they made the playoffs by winning the AL Central, that the Reds have had their ups and their downs. They've had their pitfalls. They've had their valleys, but they've also had their peaks. And they still believe, and they're learning on the job, which is incredible. And should they make it into October, should they make it into the playoffs, well, this experience will serve them extremely well. By the way, just want to make sure I mention, Astros radio is Robert Ford and Steve Sparks, and then that's Reds radio. So you've got a lot of cool races that are taking place and will likely guide us all the way through the stretch run, all the way through the month of September. So Cincinnati Reds are still right there and could win the NL Central. But man, if you're not paying attention to the Cubs, well, then you are missing out.
3-1 pitch to Seiya. Swinging a drive, deep left field. It's got a chance. Gone. Ball game is tied. Seiya Suzuki, a hanging curveball, and he crushes a two-run game-tying home run. Morrell drives one in the air. Deep center field. It's got a chance. Gone. Three-run homer, Chris Morrell. Listen to this place.
Ooh, six runs in the seventh inning for the Chicago Cubs. And yes, according to David Ross, the fans there at Wrigley Field deserve credit for the win over the Giants on Tuesday.
It was early in the game. I forget the inning, third or fourth. Just the crowd got on their feet 3-0 and just like it was just a misfire, you know, like some of that adrenaline affects the other team as well. And I think the more we're in that environment, the better we're going to be over time getting to experience that, controlling your heart rate, focusing on the pitcher, making them make pitches. It's a hard thing to do, especially if you're young and had experience that.
The Cubs have won 7 of their last 10. And remember, they've gone through a pretty sizable rebuild. They're second now in the wild card. And to think about the race there and the AL as well, it's a lot of fun because there's some fresh blood in both of these races. In the National League, though, the Cubs are poised in the second spot behind the Phillies. And then the Reds are on their heels. So there you got your two NL Central teams. Funny because we just poked fun at the NL Central for months, right? The NL Central plus the AL Central. Marlins are just a half game out. They actually took a game off Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers last night. We'll get to Clayton here coming up. Diamondbacks and then Giants are only 2 out. So there's a bunch of teams. Right now, 6 of them essentially that are vying for those 3 wild card spots. In the American League, it's not quite as thick a race. The Rangers are a half game out. Okay, so sitting third place in the AL West and a half game out of the wild card. Red Sox are hanging around. They've had a tough stretch, but they're 5 out. And so the competition should pick up. The attention, the scoreboard watching, that should pick up as we head deeper into the month of September. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Pat Hughes on Cubs Radio. Giancarlo Stanton hit his 400th home run last night for the Yankees. And Jay and I were talking about how many more he might have hit if he hadn't been injured so often. Think about the number of games he's missed. He could have potentially 500 home runs now at this point if he hadn't missed so much time. And how many years does he have left on his contract? 6?
I believe 4.
Okay, only 4. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, remember he got the 13-year deal from the Marlins, and then the Yankees traded for him, and he still has 4 years left on that deal. But he's had a really difficult season, obviously. Hasn't been able to stay healthy a lot. Though he gets his Yankee Stadium moment and hits the home run in front of the New York fans.
It's pretty awesome, you know, especially how the year's gone for me personally, you know, not how I would have liked or prepped for, but I'm glad I was able to do something cool like that.
Giancarlo Stanton, is that on Yes Network following the game? We have no way of knowing, but imagine, just for the sake of argument, if he has 50 more home runs or 100 more home runs, I mean, we talk about the Hall of Fame, possibly, right? So his injuries will always be a part of his story, but he is a former MVP, and you get to 500 home runs, and that's some rarefied territory right there.
That usually does it for Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Jay was just saying in my ear that he read, are we not quoting this? Do you think it's roughly
not exactly
the case?
Not roughly, yeah.
He's only played in half the games that he's been eligible for since he joined the Yankees, or half the games the Yankees have played since he joined the team. He's only been with them for half. Okay.
This is from August 5th, so a couple weeks ago, or about a month ago now. Stanton has missed a total of 464 out of a possible 972.
More than half.
Yeah.
Well, not quite half, I guess. But that's...
it's insane.
That is. But also, it's wasted opportunities. I know injuries are part of the game, and he suffered a ton of them. But to pay the kind of money they're paying for him and only get him for half the time, and then when you factor in their disappointing playoff exits and how the bats have gone silent for the most part in their playoff exits most recently against the Astros and other teams, that's not money well spent.
I mean, they really didn't have to give up much or anything to get him, and they still probably lost that trade just because they're paying him so much and he's there for so long.
Nutso. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. If you missed it, we talked about the Shohei Ohtani update, the injury. Really, there isn't one at this point. He's playing as much as he possibly can. Oh, and his future, obviously, is up in the air because we don't know if he'll be playing next year as a hitter with the Angels or if he will be somewhere else. We also don't know what Terry Francona's future holds, but producer Jay found this on MLB Network on Sirius XM, and I don't know, he seems to be hinting toward an actual decision.
I think I've been pretty clear with people. I don't want to have the last month be a send-off or, you know, a pity party, or, you know, that's not how I feel. But it's time, and my body's telling me that, my head's telling me that. And I don't want to stay on for the wrong reasons. And I hope I have too much respect for not just the game, but for this organization to do that. And so I've been pretty clear with the guys I work for and told them to start preparing because it's time.
It's time for what, Terry? Ooh, that hurts me. I love Terry Francona, and I know the guys love him too. He guided the Guardians to the playoffs last year when they were the youngest team in baseball. Gosh, Jay. I feel like that should be a bigger headline. If anybody heard that, why isn't it a huge headline? Is it just accepted that he's going to walk away?
He's never confirmed that or anything. I know they've been asking him about it for the last couple of months, you know, but he's always just said, I'm getting older or whatever. That sounded like he kind of made his decision, no?
Wow. Wait, let's hear it one more time.
I think I've been pretty clear with people. I don't want to have the last month be a send off or, you know, a pity party, or, you know, that's not how I feel. But it's time. And my body's telling me that, my head's telling me that, and I don't want to stay on for the wrong reasons. And I hope I have too much respect for not just the game, but for this organization to do that. And so I've been pretty clear with the guys I work for and told them to start preparing because it's time.
Wow. I will miss him. That is probably the most definitive word we've heard from Terry Francona to this point. It wasn't that long ago that, again, he was answering the question, but not giving much info, much intel. And it's not Terry to want the spotlight to be on him, so that makes sense. He doesn't want a retirement tour, if you will. And so for that reason, he's kept it to himself. Wow. MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM with Terry Francona. So we'll see if he does an official announcement or if he just walks away, rides off into the sunset. He actually has trouble walking, rides off into the sunset. They need to bring him a horse and buggy. All right, straight ahead. Let's see. Well, we still have some incredible storylines and incredible American advancements at the U.S. Open. In fact, all the way to the semifinals, pretty sweet to see some of the young talent. But we promised you a QB news because of Tom Brady. He did a promo video with Peyton and Eli, in which he was kind of left on the outside. They didn't allow him to audition to be the third host of the Monday Night Mannings. And instead, at the very end, producer Jay apparently didn't know it was there. So I told Jay to go grab the video because it was funny with all the different voices. Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Mike McDaniel, Mike Tyson, Lil Wayne, Sean Payton, Sean McVay. Right, so they're all they're auditioning all these different guys. And actually, one TikTok star that I did not recognize. I'm sorry, I'm not a big into social media influencers. Anyway, she was a young blonde. Maybe it's Olivia Dunn. It might actually have been the former gymnast for LSU, Olivia Dunn.
Oh, actually, I do know who that is, yeah.
That's good. Anyway, it might have been her, but I don't know her by face. I only know the name and the reference, and she's hot to trot right now, so it may have been her.
Is she the one who's dating Paul Skeens?
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes, okay. So it may have been her. Anyway, don't quote me on that. But at the very end, Tom Brady's left outside. They turn off the lights on Brady. They don't allow him to audition, probably because they want to. They don't want him to steal their thunder as part of the Monday Night Mannings. And he calls someone on the phone, Brady does, and he says, "I didn't get the Monday Night job." Okay, go ahead if you got it, Jay.
"No, I didn't get the ManningCast job. I guess I'll just come back and play football again."
So that's clearly the voice of Tom Brady. What is he doing? Is he just being a big fat jerk and teasing everyone? I'm going to go with yes. I'm going to go with he just decided that he would spark the flame. Yeah, he's toying with us. Back to his Let's Go podcast, though, because it's a brand new football season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
This is Upper Hand Fantasy.
What about J.K. Dobbins? I think he's going to be the breakout running back of 2023. I love the fact that he's a year removed from a bad injury. I love his price at the 4-5 turn. I'm happy with him as my RB2, but I do think he has RB1 upside, man. I think he is a dark horse candidate to lead the league in rushing. I think he has a talent. He has a great offensive line. He's averaging 5.9 yards per carry so far over his career.
Upper Hand Fantasy, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
It's easy to go all in when you're in Arlington. Enjoy the array of international cuisines, live music spots, acclaimed theater, plus so much more. Explore over a dozen neighborhoods, all easy to get to. Whatever you're looking for, but never expected, it's all in Arlington. Visit stayarlington.com.
Podcast.
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it tossed? Oh my goodness, it's tossed! DeAndre Hopkins caught it!
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp got it! Touchdown, LA!
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone. Oh, he's got it!
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Kansas City!
And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers! Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Oh, yes. And he may not be an active QB anymore, but we wouldn't put it past him. He's still talking about QBs, actually. The season premiere of Let's Go with Tom Brady and Jim Gray back on Sirius XM. And I think it's good stuff. And I'm actually interested to hear how he talks about football when he's not active in the league. It's different, right? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Tom Brady actually says he's enjoying the start of football training camp preseason, soon to be the actual regular season. He's part owner of the Raiders. Even though he's not on the field, this is great.
I was very blessed to play for as long as I did, and I loved it. Now I get to see other guys do it, and I also get to see football from a different perspective. And, you know, I'll be on Fox next year, so I have a chance to really sit back and watch and learn a different career. And, you know, I'll need a lot of help from a lot of different people, including you, Scratchy. You know, I'm coming hunting you down, and, you know, I'll be able to really watch this year with kind of a different eye. You know, I used to watch it from the lens of a quarterback. Now I see it more from maybe broadcasting, but also as a fan, and then also still from a quarterback. So maybe a few different perspectives to learn, which will be a really fun thing.
Scratchy being his nickname for his longtime friend Jim Gray on the Let's Go podcast. So what now kind of feeds that need for him to be competitive and to have the adrenaline rush? Because what you hear from athletes is they miss the camaraderie in the locker rooms and the clubhouses, but also nothing ever quite feeds that need for the adrenaline or that competitive fire once they retire.
I think it transitions into different things. I mean, a lot of it's a redirection into different areas of life, you know, and I would say the competitiveness, nothing's ever going to be like running out in front of 70,000 people screaming, let's fucking go. Yeah, and I mean, that chapter is unbelievable. And I've done it longer than anyone else. And I had so much fun, but I think that can be redirected into other areas, not in the same way. But I think there's still a part of me that wants to do really positive, great things and bring people together and, you know, just and to think about, you know, how we can always connect with people to bring the best out of them.
Plus, he's going to be busy with his kids, of course. And apparently there's a new Brady who's heading to the gridiron this year. Not Tom, but someone else.
You know, my son is going to play football this year, Benny. So I've been throwing the ball to him in the backyard and he wants to be a tight end like Gronk, and he's going to be a little beast. But, you know, I never thought he's an amazing kid, but he's got a lot of talents. He's got a really talented musician and artist. And then he told me this year, Dad, I'm playing football. And I was like, what do you want to play? And he's like, tight end. I want to be like Gronk. And I was like, that's the spot to be. So I actually texted Gronk and I'm like, yo, my boy wants to be like you. And he loved it. And he's like, that's so great.
Tom Brady, Jim Gray back on the Let's Go podcast for the 2023 NFL season. And they have guests, maybe not as many guests as the Monday Night Mannings, but Andy Reid, head coach of the Super Bowl champs. He was on Let's Go, and they asked him whether or not Mahomes can raise the bar again this season, or if he's finally hit his glass ceiling.
I kind of look at quarterbacks like farmers, man, like the work's never done. You're always working on it. I mean, Tom did this thing forever, and he was still cranking on his game at the end, man, just fine-tuning some part of the game. Maybe golfers are the same way. You're always working on something there. I'm sure Larry feels the same way about being a receiver. There's always something you can do to stay ahead of the game and to be as great as or greater than you already are. So I would tell you, nobody's really a finished product till they retire. That's kind of how it goes.
I'm excited. All this football talk, it's whetting my appetite. I can't wait. Oh, we've got Mike Tomlin for you, too. Don't you want to hear it? Oh, just hold your horses. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Mac Jones does a weekly appearance now that we're back in season, on our Boston affiliate, WEEI. And they asked him about Bill Belichick's decision to cut not just Malik Cunningham, but Bailey Zappi in their round of roster cuts.
It's just part of the business, and it's tough. You know, I think it's really hard for the coaches and GMs around the league. You have to make a lot of hard decisions, and it just proves to me that the NFL is a business, and you got to be ready every day. Just got to work hard and just focus on what you can control, right? That's all you can do.
And the Patriots did bring Zappi back. He's expected to compete for QB2. But the funny part was that the conversation around whether or not Zappi would take over the starting job for Mac Jones was still going on as recently as, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. And then, boom, Zappi gets cut.
I really can't control that.
Mac Jones has nothing but praise for both the new offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien, and Bill Belichick as they get ready to start the season.
Just trying to build a good plan. And we had really good conversations throughout the offseason about what I need to get better at and how I can help the team. So I really just want to apply to the games and feel like we made a lot of progress, you know, throughout OTAs, fall camp and the games and stuff. But, you know, now this is what we've been working for. So just trying to apply it to the games.
By the way, Tom Brady will be back with the New England Patriots and the fans to be honored. Week number one, Philadelphia, the defending NFC champs, will be in the house at Gillette for the opener on Sunday. All right, I said Mike Tomlin, here he is in all of his Mike Tomlin-isms. He's in midseason form. Did you know Kenny Pickett is the captain selected by his teammates.
Proud of the group that this group selected yesterday. Kenny Pickett on offense, and I think him being the lone captain on offense is obviously no disrespect to the leadership of others, but probably more a reflection of everyone's feel of his growth and development.
It's just so good to hear Mike Tomlin again. There's more. Don't you worry, because the Steelers open up against the San Francisco 49ers.
It's put up and shut up time.
Turning our attention to the NFC, the offensive coordinator in Arizona, so under Jonathan Gannon, is Drew Petzing. And he still believes that Kyler Murray is the face of the present and the future for the Cards.
He's been unbelievable, really, since we've walked in the building, just done everything we've asked from a rehab standpoint, from a learning the offense standpoint, from an engagement in the offensive room and getting to know his teammates and things like that. So really pleased with where he's at, kind of how he's handled things, and certainly expect that to continue moving forward. And I think that's one of the main reasons you see him as a captain. You know, I certainly view him as a franchise quarterback and the leader of this organization. I think his teammates do too. So was really happy for him to kind of get that nod, and it's been good.
It's amazing how different the internal and external views can be about a particular player in a locker room. And so much of media and social media kind of shapes that narrative. But gosh, even if you take the social and the media out of it, just the fact that he's been unreliable and the Cardinals have been brutal. When he's not healthy, I know he makes a difference on the field, obviously, because when he's not healthy, the team suffers. But is that the right long-term plan? And just the type of petulant attitude, not that young people can't grow up and that people can't mature at any stage of life, and maybe he's done some of that.
It's too hard.
Since he's gotten injured and had to rehab. Speaking of stages of life, Jerry Jones, he's still there. He's still hanging in as the Dallas Cowboys owner, general manager. And I don't know why there are questions about Dak right now, but there are always. So we wrap up QB News with this. Dak, in Jerry's opinion, will be a Cowboy long-term despite a nearly $60 million cap hit. What?
Those numbers on those contracts, those types of numbers, especially the big ones, you live with constantly. Ones. That's always on your mind. There's never a time when it goes away, because you've got to make the entire thing fit. And so it's on the mind on a player decision in the middle of the year. And it's just a fundamental. We expect Dak to be with us a long time.
On our Dallas affiliate, 105.3, The Fan, he's back to his weekly appearances. This is how you know football's returned. There's podcasts, there's weekly radio shows, there's press conferences and audio nonstop, and soon, games.
Get Mrs. Moxie.
All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, put some photos up. It's kind of fun. It's a Wednesday morning. Why not? A wacky Wednesday as we look toward the weekend. Oh, I see football. And it's not just NFL. It's also college. I'm not sure we'll get to Deion Sanders before this show is done, but we definitely will on our next show, even as I'm trying to catch up. Red, white, and blue flare at the U.S. Open, as it should be. Some surprise semifinalists. Oh, and Novak Djokovic. He's feeling so good that he decided to imitate Travis Kelce, or imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, right? So maybe he just wants to be Travis Kelce. Don't we all? Oh, and an update on Travis Kelce, as a matter of fact.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Guys, it's no secret that classic dress shirts suck. That's why our friends at And Collar created something different. No more tight collars, loose fabric, or stubborn stains. Just outrageously comfortable shirts that are breathable, stain-resistant, and perfect for all occasions. Blending the comfort of athletic wear with the style of dress shirts, you'll never feel better being dressed up. Discover their versatile collection at andcollar.com and save 20% with code RADIO. Shop shirts and more at andcollar.com. Discount code available for a limited time. Terms and conditions apply.
Here we go. Toss, serve. Out wide, good. Return through the middle. Shelton with the backhand now has a forehand cross into an open court. And the box office remains open. Ben Shelton breaks new ground. into his first U.S. Open semifinal. 6-2, 3-6, 7-6, 6-2. He hangs up the phone and a hug with Francis Tiafoe as Shelton's parents hug as well. It's Ben Shelton and Novak Djokovic in the U.S. Open semifinals.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
Get to know the name Ben Shelton, one of the young American tennis players who's making some noise in Queens at the U.S. Open. His first ever Grand Slam semifinal at 20 years old, and he joins Coco Gauff, who's 19, on the other side for the women, also into the semifinals in red, white, and blue. But yeah, for Ben, this is an all-new experience. To a man or woman, every single player who was on the court at the Open on Tuesday was mentioning the heat and the humidity because it was taxing and it was challenging. And on the court after, you hear that final call there from U.S. Open Radio, on the court after, Ben said that it was really the crowd that got him through, the crowd that kind of dragged him along so he could dig down deep and keep going. But obviously, when you pause, you think about the magnitude of the situation as a 20-year-old, here you are into a U.S. Open semifinal, so essentially our national tournament, and you're facing Novak Djokovic at the next juncture. I mean, this is a lot. This is heavy.
Walking to get my towel in the fourth set, and it's like, this is the greatest moment on the tennis court of my life, and I'm in a lot of pain, you know, physically, but I'm loving it, and I think that was just kind of the story of today.
Congratulations to Ben. And then for Coco, she's been on quite a tear. She won in Cincinnati. Actually, Novak Djokovic did as well, and now it's something that people are starting to pay attention to. Every single time Coco has played in the U.S. Open so far, the very next match on the same court has been Novak. So they're essentially session partners, if you will, twice at night, but on Tuesday during the daytime with the heat and the humidity. And so it's a lot to manage for both of them. Coco first, though she says now she's not going to be looking ahead. She's so close. She's never won a Grand Slam singles championship. And here she is to her first U.S. Open semi, but she refuses to look ahead.
There's still a lot of tennis left to play, and it's a long match and a long tournament. And, you know, even though the semifinals by theory, if you want to win, there's two matches left. But it's, you can't think like that. I'm still in the mindset that I'm in the beginning of the tournament. I think that's what I've learned, you know, in the past of being in quarterfinals before. I would think, you know, close to the end. But right now I have the mentality that I told myself I still have another 2 weeks to play. So that's where my mind is at. And then obviously when it's over, it's over. But right now I'm just saying another 2 weeks. And also I think it's what's helping is playing from D.C. to Montreal to Cincinnati. That was a long type of swing. So I think doing well in those tournaments built my mental endurance. I always had the physical endurance, but it built my mental endurance. So right now I feel emotionally fresh, which I think was the problem in the past in Grand Slams. I would emotionally be drained, but obviously I'm physically fresh and emotionally fresh.
Good for her. So Coco and Ben into the semis as Americans. Now for Novak Djokovic, it's old hat. He sets a record, a men's new record, 47th Grand Slam semifinal. 47. No one has ever played in more on the men's side. And he beat American Taylor Fritz in that heat, in that humidity on Tuesday afternoon. And I thought that we heard from him earlier, but thought this was kind of interesting how he highlights New York as a place where you're constantly having to navigate and manage the noise and the distractions all around. So kind of making it seem like in other places, Wimbledon, the French Open, maybe the Australian, or other tournaments that are not majors, fans are more respectful. fans kind of abide by the rules, which, by the way, you're not supposed to get up and walk around. Regardless of how big the stadium is, you are supposed to remain in your seats while the play is going on. So you're not supposed to get up and move around until there are changeovers. I work for the Tennis Hall of Fame. I was constantly reminding fans, please stay in your seat until there's a changeover. It's something that he noted. You just have to get used to when you're in New York.
Look, it happens, you know, and sometimes you react, but most of the times you don't. I mean, I speak, you know, for myself. Obviously, there's 90% of the time you don't react. I mean, people speak, they move around. You got to be ready for that, particularly in U.S. Open, especially in the night sessions. It just, you know, that's part of it. It's part of the sport. Mostly, I don't mind it, but, you know, in those important moments when you're all of a sudden, you know, under a lot of stress and you're facing a break point, and then all of a sudden everything annoys you and distracts you. So uh-huh. then you react. But that's, again, that's heat of the moment and playing on the highest level. I'm actually glad that crowd wants to get into it because, it means that the match is interesting, that they want to be part of it and that they're having fun. So the end of the day, they pay tickets to come and watch you play. So we try to put on a show and perform for them so they go back home, you know, satisfied that they've been here and enjoy their day.
I got to tell you, we've been really blessed with Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic as two of the best men's tennis players that have ever walked the face of the earth, and yet they're so open. They're so thoughtful. They give you long answers or give the media long answers. They explain themselves. They're not cryptic. They're not rude with the media most of the time. Just recognizing that it's better for the sport when they speak and also just very well-spoken and are willing to kind of go down the rabbit hole when it comes to some of the bigger issues, challenges facing tennis. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Maybe you didn't know that Novak Djokovic was going to channel his inner Travis Kelce after his quarterfinal win. This is Tennis TV.
Okay, everybody ready? You gotta fight for your right to party. Woo!
You gotta fight for your right to party!
Oh my gosh. So a little bit different there, but I love that Novak also has that side of him as well.
You gotta fight.
He's playful. He's fun. Travis is he's like a bull in a china shop. But we will miss him if he's not on the field come Thursday night, which is a distinct possibility. So here's what we know about Travis. He hyperextended his knee at the very least in a red zone drill. It was a non-contact injury, which is what scares people. It was the last practice before the Chiefs kick off the season Thursday as they host the Lions, though now his status is in doubt. And Andy Reid fielding a lot of questions. The Chiefs do not believe that he tore his ACL, even though it was non-contact and he was limping. They don't believe it's an ACL, but right now they're not sure they'll have him Thursday.
Next guy steps in and we roll. I mean, that's what you do if that's the case.
Okay. Next guy steps in and we roll. But how do you replace an all-world tight end who is Patrick Mahomes' security blanket?
You gotta fight.
Oh, you're right. Hey, Jay, you know what I just saw? Apparently, after I flew home from Houston on Tuesday, United had a system-wide shutdown.
No way.
3 hours after I got off the plane, the FAA put a tweet out that said United is asking to pause all of the airlines' departures nationwide. Oh, this is why you get out early. This is why you get out early. I would have been stuck in Houston. Oh, you might have had to do the show without me. I made it, though. Phew. All right, we'll talk to you tonight. Survive your hump day. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs are the landscaping plants that have been trialed and tested by expert horticulturists to ensure your success. Whether you're looking for the hottest hydrangea, a reblooming rose, or an elegant evergreen, you can count on the shrubs in the white containers for easy care curb appeal for years to come. There's still plenty of time to improve your landscape this season, so head to your favorite local garden center and ask for Proven Winners Color Choice Flowering Shrubs.